Welcome to the audio podcast of The Table at Central United Methodist Church. The podcast currently features the messages of Matt Smith and Linda Duhirsu.
With a musical introduction by Brendan Lowe, our director of music. Thanks for listening.
Plenteous grace with thee is found, grace to cover all my sin. Let the healing streams abound, make and keep me pure within. Thou of life in the fountain art, freely let me take of thee. Spring thou up within my heart, rise to
tax collectors and sinners were coming near to listen to Jesus. And the Pharisees and the scribes were grumbling and saying, "This fellow welcomes sinners and eats with them." So Jesus told them this parable. "Which one of you, having 100 sheep and losing one of them, does not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after the one that is lost until he finds it? When he has found it, he lays it on his shoulders and rejoices. And when he comes home, he calls together his friends and neighbors, saying to them, 'Rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep that was lost.' Just so, I tell you, there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous persons who need no repentance. Or what woman, having 10 silver coins, if she loses one of them, does not light a lamp, sweep the house, and search carefully until she finds it? When she has found it, she calls together her friends and neighbors, saying, 'Rejoice with me, for I have found the coin that I had lost.' Just so, I tell you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner who repents."
The road to peace, I know, is him, I know. It will. All is not lost, is not lost.
That's why I'm not a delegate by myself, because I need help. And so Becca is on a part of our delegation as well, and I just want to ask that you lift us up in prayer as we get to know each other, as we get to figure out what is the best thing to do, but that we focus on God's will, and that not our personal biases or understandings of what we think we want the church to look like, that God's will be done. Because God knows why this is all happening. It's just, we don't know. So I just want to say that. And it's great to be here worshiping with you this morning, Becca, after being on a call all day yesterday. So every year in the Bay Area, I work in Berkeley, but I live on the border of Concord and Clayton, where I get the wonderful view of Mount Diablo. So I live right at the base. I can see it. There's a man-made lake behind my house, and I have nature. I grew up in New York City, so when I moved to California, I moved to Sacramento first. I used to live here. My son was born at American River Hospital, that no longer exists, I'm told, because he's 30. And I'm doing that to protect myself, not him. So I moved to the Bay Area because I wanted to be close to the water. I'm a water person, as well as I have really bad allergies. I'm an asthmatic, and Sacramento, unfortunately, was not healthy for me. And so I moved to the Bay Area and I commute every day to Berkeley. And we have sheep on the side of the road. If you go through the Caldecott Tunnel and you look to the left or the right, there are sheep grazing because they realize after the big fire that we had down there that we needed to do something to maintain that grass and all that stuff that was growing. Well, I love sheep, okay? I love sheep, and this is even without my spiritual life. I think sheep are pretty amazing, and I love teasing them. And when my son was young, we used to go to Bodega Bay, and we used to rent a house across from a sheep farm. And we used to go out on the porch and go, bah. And then they would go, bah. And we thought that was the coolest thing. So sheep are really amazing to me. And most people think sheep are not smart. But that's not really so. They're very social. They live in a social construct. That's why they flock together. They do it for protection, because if they didn't, wolves and coyotes and things could attack them very easily. And they move. They're like pigeons, kind of. They move together. You ever notice how pigeons move together? And that's for protection, to make sure. And the older sheep, you will notice, will be on the outside, similar to the elephant, and the younger sheep will be in the middle because they are trying to protect legacy, right? Trying to protect legacy and make sure they go that goes on. And they don't naturally wander, so that's a miss. That's not true. They usually go, when they wander, it's because they're sick. Or they wander away because they're so busy looking down, like some of us with our cell phones, that they walk away from the flock. I thought about that just this morning driving up here, how similar that is. We walk away from the flock and from the fellowship of the people that we love because we're too busy looking down. Just a thought. And the wandering sheep does not know that he or she is in peril because they're too busy looking down and wandering away. They don't have a clue that there's a group of coyotes in the corner rallying to attack it. And so here comes the shepherd. Just when this little sheep, he could hear it in the distance. But as he kept walking and looking for this sheep, the sound was getting fainter. So it was probably dying. But just eureka, in the moment when this little sheep is at its most despair moment, thinking that it is alone in the darkness, not hearing the sheep cry from its father, its mother. Oh, I love that. Where is that? All right, I love that. From its other flock. You don't have to take her out. That's God talking. Don't do it. Don't do it. And you begin to understand how important it is for that sheep to walk away from the other sheep to find that one lost sheep. This chapter in the Bible, actually, Jesus is talking a whole lot. There's a whole lot of red in the Bible. And he's talking about the lost sheep first, the lost coin, and the lost son. It's not a mistake that he starts with the sheep. It's the sheep because he is the shepherd, the divine and royal shepherd who finds us even when we hide. Have you ever hid or tried to hide from Jesus? I did. I lived 2 decades of my life hiding from Jesus because I was hiding from my blackness and hiding from my womanhood and hiding from what I thought the world expected of me. And Jesus said, no, 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 little sparrow. Nothing that I make is disgusting. Everything that I make is marvelous. And even in your darkest, most funky moment, I love you. And I'm going to look for you. And I'm going to find you. And then the picture of the shepherd picking up the sheep, not holding it like this, not holding it sort of on one arm or on its hip, but taking it up over its shoulder. That's why I love babies when they're first born, because they fit right here. And then they get long, right? They fit right here. Heart to heart is what my father used to say. Heart to heart. We used to have to hug heart to heart. And you can feel the vibration of the blood pumping through that other person, and you can feel the heartbeat, and all of a sudden you're in sync. If you've ever held a baby, it happens. Notice it the next time. Take time to notice these things. These are God things. The things that we rush through are the God things, and we're too busy trying to rush back into all that foolishness that takes us away from the flock and from the shepherd. We don't have to get lost, but we do. And as we mature in our spirituality, the hope is that we get lost less and less. It takes a learning. The shepherd puts the sheep on his shoulder and takes him back to the flock, and then they celebrate. When I was young, in a year, in a decade, far, far away, we were in church all day. We went to church. My father was Muslim. My mother was Christian, so my father did not attend church with us. But my mother took us to church, and in her house, the rule was, as long as you live under my roof, you go into church. I don't care if you partied the night before, dragging in here, smelling like stuff you shouldn't have been smelling like. You getting up and going to church, okay? I love you, Mom. And we got up and went to church, and we spent the whole day there to celebrate the harvest of our lives. We didn't rush in and out of church. And then we would come back that night, and it was a Methodist church, and have dinner and fellowship. And I grew up in that church, and every member of that church followed me throughout their lives, followed me to college, so I wouldn't get lost. You see how the flock works? You see how the fellowship works? When you know me, you know that by the third month that I was up in New Hampshire at college, you know I was crying to go home back to New York, because New Hampshire? They gave me a scholarship, folks. They did. But the reality is, we always need that fellowship, and we need a warm place to come home. My daughter went off to St. Mary's College 2 years ago, and this summer I realized that there was something wrong. I looked deep into my daughter's eyes and I said, "What has happened to you?" And she said to me, "Mommy, I can't go back there." And I said, "What do you mean you can't go back there? My son graduated from the same college." And she said, "They're faking the funk, Mommy. They're faking their Christianity, Mommy. They're faking their social justice, Mommy. And I cannot live on a campus where the people that are in charge don't understand that all the rest of us are not following their mission and vision." So I said, "Come home. Come home." So she commutes now. And I said, "How come now this works for you?" She says, "Because I can come home every day and regroup and rekindle and know that I am accepted for who I am, with my nappy hair and my dark, dark brown skin, and the fact that I don't know who I am sexually, and I'm trying to figure it all out, and the fact that I'm almost 6'1", and everybody looks at me, and the first thing they ask me is, 'Do I play basketball?'" And she has to say, "I played it in high school. I don't like it now." A million and one times, we have to come back to the flock so we can celebrate and to lick our wounds, and so we can create a place of comfort for all when they go away. I love traveling, but I'm going to tell you, when my foot and that plane hits Oakland Airport ground, hallelujah! I can't wait to get home. And the first thing I do, I never unpack because I'm a hypochondriac kind of person, so I think I brought bed bugs back. So the suitcase goes in the garage for a week. And luckily, I have enough clothes that I can do that. But I clean my house. No matter what time I get home, I nest in my house and clean my house and before I go to bed, because I want to touch it. It's my familia. It's my muse. We always want to go home, but we want a celebration when we come home. Don't act like we come home all the time. Celebrate. We're going to talk about the woman, and I love her. I love her. Because this sister lived in a time that we don't live in. If I told many of you that I have chosen your husband or your wife or your partner, and you're only 12 years old, and they come to dinner and we're eating the peanut butter jelly sandwich, and you go, this gonna be your wife, husband, or partner. That was her existence. She was betrothed to somebody. She had a dowry. So you're thinking about a coin. Why would anybody get so upset about losing one little tiny coin? Well, it wasn't a quarter, sisters and brothers. That coin meant maybe $1,000. It was her dowry. And if she was ready to get married and the plans had been made, the dress was in the closet, she could not go to the person that she was betrothed to, the family, to say, I don't have my dowry, because then she couldn't get married. And if she had other sisters and sisters, they were waiting on her to get married. So it's not that simple. When you first read it, you're like, why is this woman freaking out over losing a quarter? Because you've lost quarters, right? You've dropped a penny on the ground and said, Is it worth it? With that cane, the answer is no. We've all done it. But for her, it meant something else. It had a bigger value. And it wasn't the value, meaning the value of the coin. It had a bigger value to what she was going to be in her community and how she was established. And so, I love this. I'm picturing this woman in this place. Dark, because you know they were built to withstand, their homes were built to withstand weather and everything, possibly on a dirt floor or possibly on a floor made out of brick that's not quite together, like we have the great mortar that holds our bricks closer so things don't fall in. And she's down looking for this coin. Of course, she has a lamp, because in those days, everybody had a lamp. She turns her lamp on, but it's not the LED lamp that we have when we go camping that illuminates everything and the owls say, would you please go home? Right? Not that kind of light, but the little candlelight kind of. And she's down on the ground and she's sweeping. So she's running the mistake of sweeping it. I'm having such a hard time because I need to move. On the ground. And she may be covering it up the whole time, never to be seen again. Never to be seen again. So she's passionate about it. She's crying about it. She's worried about it. And then, I love the word eureka, so I'm going to say it again. Eureka! There it is. All the plans that were made, that bad Vera Wang wedding gown in the closet, she's still going to be able to wear it. And she's joyous. And she's grateful, and she's thanking God and the Holy Spirit and Jesus Christ for this. And then she goes out and she says, girls, sisters, I found my coin. The wedding is on. And they celebrate. And they celebrate that the coin is found and that the plans can go forward and that she can be who she wants to be within her community, which is a wife. These stories, I love Jesus, because Jesus is talking to the Pharisees, those jive guys who thought they knew everything about the Bible, who had the audacity of taking God's words and sharing them to hurt people. And they were so egotistic that they had the audacity to talk to our Savior in a way that we should never talk to our Savior, looking down at him because he's talking to the people that they have just done very evil things to, telling them they cannot get to heaven unless they pay more taxes. And I'm envisioning the Pharisees standing up on the church, at the church door, kind of, the synagogue, and looking down at Jesus, because Jesus was always sitting down with the people and saying, how dare you do that? Why are you doing that? Why? And then Jesus starts saying, I know he's mad at him. I would have loved to have been alive at that time, because I know Jesus got mad. I just don't think we hear a whole lot about it. We hear that one story, but I don't believe that's the only time. Okay? I really don't. Because I think the disciples were wonky. Because if we know who we are as human beings, weren't the disciples the same? Haven't you run and hid from God? Haven't you, at some moments in your life, said, God, why me? Why did you choose me? What have I done? Disciples did all of that. So Jesus is telling the story of the shepherd and the sheep to say, I am your shepherd. And I want a one-on-one relationship with you. And I will find you no matter where you try to hide from me. Whether it's in addiction, whether it's in anything that takes us, that keeps us away from the Holy Spirit. I will find you there, and I will not judge you, because that's all left up to all of us in this room, because we can do that, can't we? We can judge people. Oh, Lord, help us. And we do it sometimes without even thinking. Instead of having the grace that Jesus had to forgive someone who turned him in so he could be crucified, would you kiss a person who turned you in to be crucified? I don't know if I have that much courage. I don't know if I have that much faith. I haven't been tested yet. Jesus has lived through every human test that there is to give us an example of how, if we just humble ourselves and let the monkey mind go to sleep for a minute, that critical secular mind that tells us that money has only the value that it's stamped on, because if that's the case, some of the money that we're exchanging today we need to burn, because the faces on it represent oppression. We need to burn it. I'm just saying. We have to be careful with each other, loves, beloved people. We judge too much. I had to say to a group of people, please be patient with me, because there were people among the group who were judging one thing or another instead of talking to me and finding out really what was going on. But yet I found myself having to humble myself to say, please forgive me when I don't do what you want me to do. Because in order to get the work done, it's not about me. It's about all of us together. And so I'm more than happy to humble myself down to the ground, into the sewer, to do whatever needs to happen for our church and for our denomination. Because you know why? Because Jesus is going to find me there and join me and join me and join all of you. Our church is going through, our denomination is going through a lot. But I believe, I read history a lot, and I see cycles in the history where things blow up in order for people to start having the conversation. Things blow up in order for us to say, tell me how you feel. Things blow up and get destroyed so that I can say to you, I understand your pain. I understand your hurt. But sometimes it has to blow up, because when we are comfortable people, we go along with the status quo. So I believe that God's will is being done in this church in this time, because we have neglected many, many things. We've neglected the spiritual aspects of our title, of who we are. I said when I came here, this is a glorious church. Thank you so much for letting me be here. I needed to be here today because I've had a rough week. And the drive up here was so magnificent that I will not tell you how fast I drove. Because there was nobody out there. I did look, though. Okay. It was so beautiful. And then to see how you have created a welcoming, I get out of my car and it says, welcome to the table. Then I look around, there's another sandwich board and it says, go this way. Welcome to the table. Then I walk in here and I'm greeted by every single person that walked by me. That's church. The fact that the door is open and the neighborhood knows that you're in here doing your worship, that's church. It does not happen in this building, as beautiful as this building is. This is where you get your tools so you can go out in church and create those one-on-one relationships that help you to grow, that help you to see Jesus, that help you to be a part of planting the seeds so the trees can grow. Let's be in prayer. Mother, Father, Elohim, the great I Am, we praise you and thank you for everything that we are and yet to be. We could never have seen with anything 2020 vision what you had in store for our lives. We had no idea. We had no idea. But in this space and time at the table in Sacramento, within the zip codes, within a 5-mile radius of this church, of this sanctuary, of this beacon of light, we know that we are going out and then coming back in. Going out and coming back in. And therefore go. We're going to therefore go and make disciples, not by beating them over the head, not by being Pharisees thinking we know your word better than you know your word, but by sharing love and by sharing hope and by sharing a hug and by meeting them one-on-one where they are. And Father, we know that our mission, vision, and purpose, that's it. There's nothing else. And we look forward to the day that there will be heaven on earth, just as the Lord's Prayer says. We thank you, we glorify your name, and we thank you for the sacrifice of Jesus Christ, because without it, we would not be here. Amen and amen.
Yeah.
you.